Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psochim Daf Lamed Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 14 lines from the bottom of Daf Lamed Gimel. In other words, a little more than halfway down the page. You may notice to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text a star that's encircled with an indication that this relates to Lamed Beis Omid Aleph. Before we begin the actual Gemara, let's glance at the side where we have a nosei, a topic heading, under which we've written Kedushas Truma, the sanctity that's imposed upon Truma. Truma is the tithe that one separates from his produce and gives to a Kohen. So that sanctity, lo chola al Truma shehufrosh bepesach michometz. If one had some chometz, and it's Pesach, we're in the middle of the holiday of Pesach, and that chometz had been, let's say, wheat that fermented and had not been tithed prior to Pesach. Comes the holiday, and you attempt to set aside, to separate some of the fermented wheat from the tevel, from your untithed produce, in the hopes of declaring the separated quantity as truma, it will not become sanctified as truma. In other words, it's a useless action. We have a quote that the Gemara opens up with. It is taken from the end of a Tanaic source on Daf Lamed Beis Omid Aleph. In that source, there was a machlokis between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yochanan Nuri concerning someone who ate Trumas Chometz on Pesach. Rabbi Kiva said he's exempt from paying restitution, and Rabbi Yochanan Nuri says he's obligated. At the end of that source, this was qualified and said that this is true. This machlokis exists when you're dealing with someone who had tithed actual truma, and then subsequently it became fermented. In other words, at the time of the tithing took hold. The tithe gained or absorbed kedushas truma, the sanctity of truma. However, if someone tithed chometz, something that was already chometz, when he tithed it on Pesach, everyone agrees that it does not become truma, and that the whole discussion between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yochanan Nuri would not be applicable to that. Our Gemara opens up with a quote from there, Omar Mar. We're reading our Gemara, Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, 14 lines from the bottom. Omar Mar, Badmed Vumamurim, Bemafrish Truma Vechmitza, the Machlokis, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yochanan Nuri concerned someone who tithed truma that subsequently became chometz. Aval hifrish chometz truma, someone who tithed chometz as truma, divrei hakol eino kedusha. Everyone will agree that it does not have truma sanctity. Truma sanctity is a certain level of holiness with which one must treat that tithe. One is not allowed to defile it, to be metame it. It's restricted only to Kohanim as far as eating. Anyway, when you're dealing with chometz that you tithe as truma, that at first was chometz and you tithe it, everyone agrees that the truma classification will not apply. Meno hanimili, from where do we know this? Omer of Nachman bar Yitzchok Omer Kro Titen Loi. The posuk says you shall give the truma to the Kohen, and we infer v'loy lo'oiro, you give it to him, and when we say give it to him, it means you give it to him for eating purposes. and not for merely lighting it. L'oro is simply to light it, to burn it as fuel. What Rashi adds here is, even if what you were tithing was something that was fit to serve as fuel, in other words, something you could benefit from, but if you cannot eat from it, so this halacha applies that it does not become truma. And in our case, when you're dealing with setting aside something that is chometz on Pesach as truma, other than the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who allows you to benefit from chometz, all other opinions would say it's not even fit to serve as fuel. So that certainly will not become truma. We continue. Mosiv Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua. We have a Tanaic source that says Ein Tormin Minha Tomei Al HaTohor. One should not lechatchila tithe from defiled fruits in order to exempt fruits that are pure, that are tohor, that are undefiled, because by giving the Kohen defiled fruits, he won't be able to eat them. He'll be able to use them only as fuel, so you're causing the Kohen a loss. V'im toram b'shoge trumasa truma. If he was not aware that the tevel, that the untithed produce, happened to have been defiled, and he tithed the truma, separated a portion as truma from his tevel tome, it takes hold. V'amai, why does it take hold? Lema loy v'lo l'ora, why not apply the drosha that we just had in the name of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, namely that if it's not something suitable for the Kohen to eat, it's not suitable to take upon itself the name, the classification as Truma. And yet here we see otherwise. The Gemara answers, Lo Kashya. Hosam, in the case of Truma that became Tomei, Hoysa Lo Shas HaKosher. In the case of, let's say, Tevel, that became Tomei, before it became Tomei, it was fit to be tithed as Truma that the Kohen could eat from. Hocha, where he, here in the case where he was Mafrish Chometz as Truma, Lo Hoysa Loi Shas HaKosher. It was at no point fit for him eating. Let us take a look at the continuation of the Gemara. What do you mean when you say it never had a time at which it could be eaten? Udelo hoysa lo shas kosher heichi domi. What is an example of that, of produce that never had a chance to be eaten by the Kohen? Number one, kegoin de achmitz b'mechubar. If you have, let us say, some grains, some wheat or barley that fermented while it was still attached to the ground. Now, something that's attached to the ground cannot be tithed as truma, but it had already become chometz, so that when you eventually harvested these grains, you were harvesting something that at no point could have been truma that could have been eaten. It became chometz while it was still attached. Let us say you then harvested it during Pesach, a time at which chometz is forbidden to eat. And then you tithed it, so at no point was it fit for the Kohen to eat. Aval achmitz betolush. However, if it became chometz after it was already detached, hachi nami dekotcha, are you going to say then it will become truma? In other words, if I tithe something like that, where it was originally not chometz, and it became chometz only after it was detached, are you saying that would become sanctified as chometz, as truma? Omar lei in, he says, yes, Bigzeras Irin Pisgomo Uvamaima Kadishin She'elta V'chein Morin Bebei Midrasha Kavasi. In the last two lines, we quoted a posuk from the book of Daniel
Daniel Perek Dalet Posuk Yudalet, and it's used as an expression to mean that the answer I'm giving with certainty. It's like the ruling of the angels. And the angels is a reference to the Talmidei Chachamim. And thusly they also rule in the Beis Medrash, like me. That which we said before regarding the Truma, that does not become Truma, because it didn't have a Shas HaKosher, that's talking about a case of it becoming chometz while it was still attached to the ground. Ki also Rav Huna braid Rav Yeshua. Here we're going to have a dissenting opinion. We're calling him number two. And he will be telling us that even if it became chometz after it was detached, and at that point you decide to set it aside as truma, it will not take hold. So Rav Huna, when Rav Huna Rav Shua came, Omar, he said, we're at the top of Omid Beis, Omar Kro, Rashis. The Pasuk in describing Truma describes it as Rashis. Rashis literally means the first, the beginning. And when you have a beginning, you have an end. So when you tithe the Truma, Sheshioreha Nikorin LiYisrael. Namely, that through the tithing, that which remains becomes fit for the rest of the people, for the Yisrael, for the non-Kohanim, to eat. Yotzezuzu, to the exclusion of someone who tithes truma from a chometz, she'ein shioreha nikorin. If you, after you remove the truma from that which has become chometz, the shirayim, that which is left over, is just as usur as it was at the outset. Namely, it's just as usur as it was, it's just as forbidden as it was when it was still untithed, when it was still tevel. So a tithing like that does not take effect. It does not become truma. As we go on in the Gemara, we'll notice some diamonds that appear. And on the side of the Gemara, our Nosei Mivne heading, we've written the following. Machloikas Amoroyim, Eich Magdirim, Mashkin Shebesoich Anovim, Lifnei Drichosom. We're going to see an Amoraic controversy regarding the classification of liquids inside the fruits before the fruits are squeezed or crushed for, say, liquid production. One approach is called Mifkad Pkidi. That expression means they are as if they are packaged or entrusted inside the skin of the fruit, but are not considered attached to it. It's as if the liquids are stored in the skin of the fruit. The second approach is mivla bli'i, that the liquids are considered absorbed and part and parcel of the fruit. Nafkamina, there is a practical halachic difference between these two approaches. Imnoga tumo ba'anovim. Let us say some source of defilement touched the as yet unpressed grapes. Haim yesh sikui lidroich oisam, is there a possibility of pressing these grapes, kidei shamashka yotzmem yetor, so that the liquid that comes forth from these grapes will be undefiled? With that in mind, we turn to the Gemara. Yosef Rav Acha bar Rav Avi. We're reading on the third line from the top. So Rav Acha is sitting. Kamei Rav Chista. The Yosef Omer Mishmei Rav Yochanan. Rav Acha reports in the name of Rav Yochanan. Anovim Shinitmu. Grapes that became Tomei. Dorchon. Dorchon has to do with pressing the grapes. Pochos Mikabetza. If you take a quantity of grapes that's less than an egg's quantity and press them, one by one, so to speak. V'yeinon kosher l'nesachim, the juice or the wine that issues forth from them will be acceptable for using on the altar, which means that the liquids, the wine, is tohor. Alma kosovar, this shows us that Rav Yochanan is of the following opinion. Mashkin mifkat pkidi, the liquids that are contained within the fruits are mifkid pkidi. The word mifkid is often seen in terms of the word pikodon, something that's entrusted, or in this case we'll say stored up in the grapes. However, it's not part of the grape. It's not part of the skin of the grape. Therefore, even though the grapes are tamei, the liquid contained within them is viewed halachically as a separate entity, as liquid stored up within the skin of the grapes. Li'emas komitami. At what point would the wine be subject to becoming tamei? L'chisochit lehu. At the point that they are squeezed out, that the wine is squeezed out. However, l'chisochit lehu, since we're talking about someone who is pressing less than an egg quantity of grapes at any given time, so that when he squeezes them out, lesei l'shiure, you don't have the sufficient quantity of grapes to convey tumah onwards to the liquid. Why is that? Well, there's a rule that food does not pass on tumah to other items unless there is an egg quantity of food. As far as food becoming tumah itself, that depends on two lishonos in Rashi. We can assume for the time being that that doesn't require a particular shiur. However, to convey tuma onwards to something else, for a food item to be metames, something else, you would have to have a kibetza worth of food. However, if you're starting off with less than an egg quantity, so that when the liquid does come out, you don't have a kibetza worth of food to be metame those liquids. And hence, the wine that oozes forth from them, that's pressed out, is tohor. The Gemara asks, Ihochi kibetza nami? If that be the case, so that you could even start with a complete egg quantity of grapes. Even if you have an egg quantity, dehotnan, tomei meis shesochat zeisim vanovim, kibetza mechuvenes tahorim. If someone who had been defiled to the dead, he is what we call an avatuma, he certainly could be metama other things, and he squeezed out zeisim, olives, anovim, or grapes, an egg quantity of that, so he may very well have been metama the grapes and the olives. However, that which comes out of them will be tohar. And why is that? Because once the liquid starts to come out, what was started off as an egg quantity is now less than an egg quantity. If we look in the Rashi, the Kibetza Nami, across a few lines down from here, Rashi says, if you start with an egg quantity, mamish also, toha kinofik mashkim minay choser leishure, because as soon as the liquid oozes forth from it, you have less than a kibetza. So why did Rabbi Yochanan teach that when dealing with the anovim that had been defiled, press them, but at each moment using a quantity less than a kibetza, when you could have pressed even an egg quantity and still the liquid would have been tohor? The Gemara answers, Hasam de'i ovad, the source that was just quoted, is a case dealing with something post facto. The word that was in the source was shesochat, that he happened to have already squeezed them out. Hocha, the din of Rabbi Yochanan concerns lichatchila, what is the best, what's the first choice that if someone comes to ask you what to do, what would you tell them? So the answer to that is we would tell them, press less than an egg quantity, thereby ensuring that the juice that comes out, the wine that comes out, will not be tome. Now, why would we not tell him to squeeze out an actual egg quantity? And why is it that we're telling him less than an egg quantity? The answer to that is gzeiro dilma'osi lemevad yoyser mikabetz. If we allow someone to press a full egg quantity of grapes, he may come to press a bit more than an egg quantity, and then the liquid that comes out will become tomei upon its contact with the grapes. Because if you're starting off with more than an egg quantity, so as soon as the first drop comes out, it will become tomei from the grapes that you have an egg quantity of them. That first drop of tomei wine will then become mixed up with the rest of the wine, ruining the rest of the wine. We continue with a new marking. You notice a triangle, and on the side, under our Mivneh heading, you see the triangles featured, and we call this a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a give-and-take style Gemara. With the point facing up, this represents Rav Chisda v'aholchimito, Rav Chisda and those that agree with him, and the inverted will be neged emdas Rav Chisda, be against what Rav Chisda is trying to say. So up till this point in the Gemara, Rav Acha was teaching over Rav Yochanan's halacha regarding grapes that are tomei and the ability to produce from them wine that is tahor. After hearing this, Rav Chisda now speaks up. Amalei Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda says to Rav Acha, Man say yisloch l'Rav Yochanan Rabbah. Who's going to listen to you and your rabbi, Rav Yochanan? If you started off with tomei grapes, where did the tuma go? Where did the tuma go that you can say that the wine that issues forth from them, in fact, is tohar? Now, from Rav Chisda's reaction, we see Alma Kosovar, this shows us that he holds Mashkin Mivla Bli'i. The liquids contained within fruits are not just merely stored inside the skins as a separate entity, but rather they are absorbed within the fruit and are part and parcel of the fruit. And therefore, when the fruit became tomei, the liquids became tomei along with them. V'kevon de'itmu lei uchla, itmu lei mashkin. And since the food portion of the grape became tomei, the mashkin that's absorbed within it also becomes tomei. Omar lei, Rav Acha now responds, V'at loy tizbro de mashkin mifkid pkidi. Do you not agree with my approach that the mashkin, the liquids, are simply considered stored within but not part of the fruit? The hotnan tomei meishesh sochat zeisiv anovim mechuvenes kebeitza tahorim. If a tomei may, someone who had been defiled to the dead, he is quite tomei, and he's squeezing out an egg quantity of olives or grapes, the juice that issues forth is tahor. Now, iyamris bishlama mifgat pkidi bishum hochi torim. If you say that the liquids are viewed as simply stored within the fruits but are not part of the fruits, therefore, I understand that even though the fruits themselves became tomei, the liquid that issues forth from them remains tohor. Elo yamris mivla bli amai torim. If you say that they are absorbed within the fruits that were handled by a tomei mace, why is the liquid still tohor? Omar lei, Rav Chisda answers, and you'll notice this is a long answer. We have a long answer marking for this. Hocha b'mayaskin, Rav Chisda says, well, the case of the tomei mace in the source that we just quoted is talking about a case b'anovim shlo huchshuru. We're dealing with grapes that were not muchshar to be makabel tumah. In other words, we made an assumption, Rav Acha was making an assumption, that the Tomei Meis, upon handling the grapes or the olives, he was metame them. Well, that assumption is being challenged right now. Rav Chisda is saying the grapes and olives were never hukshar, they never were readied, prepared for tuma absorption. How do fruits become tomei? How do they become hukshar lekabel tuma? By being exposed to several different kinds of liquids. For example, water that you might use to wash off the fruits. The dampness that remains on the fruits is machshir it lekabel tuma, and when the tomei meis touches the fruits, they will become tomei. That's because of the wetness that was on the fruits. However, if you have, let us say, dry olives or grapes that were never washed off, they're dry, and a tomei meis handles them, the fruits do not become tomei. Le'emas, the Gemara goes on to say, le'emas miskashri, at what point would they become mukshar? At the point that the tomei meis would squeeze them out, so they would be exposed to the liquids oozing out of them. However, in this particular case, kisochet lehu, in the case of the tomei meis featured in the source where he was squeezing out zeis manovim that were exactly a kibetza in quantity, well, as soon as he starts squeezing them out, botzir lehu shiura, the quantity becomes reduced by virtue of the first drop that comes out. But in principle, Rav Chisda says that mashkin are mivlabli'i. Just over here, the fruits were not mukshir lekabel tumah, and he was squeezing out altogether just a kibetza in quantity. De'i lo tema hachi, Rav Chisda continues speaking and says, if you don't say thusly, that mashkin are bli, but rather you say mifgad pokid, ha desanyo, the following Tanaic source, ha, this is also a quote from what we've seen back on Daf Lamed Beis Omid Aleph, ha lema ze doime, when the point was being made back on Lamed Beis Omid Aleph, the point was being made that there is a type of, we'll call it a type of tithe that has no heter achila nor heter hasoka, nor has no eating value, and it has no fuel value. And what was cited as an example of that back on Lamed Beis? The trumas tutin v'anovim shinit me'ah. Tutin or anovim. Anovim, we know, are grapes. Tutim is another type of fruit where someone had tithed these kinds of fruits. Shenitma, where they became tomei. Shein lo bo lo heter achila velo heter hasoka. There's no hope for them. There's no eating hope. There's no eating permission, nor is there any fuel value. You're not going to use tutim or anovim as fuel, nor will they be suitable as anything you can consume. But if you say, like you are saying, Rav Chisda says to Rav Acha, that the mashkin are mifkat pkidi, ha heter achilo nami isbei, there is a heter of eating, of consumption. The boi dorach lu pochos pochos mikabetza. Well, according to you, they could have been squeezed out at using a quantity of less than an egg's amount each time, the liquid being, according to you, mifgad pokid, merely stored within but not part of those fruits. So even though the fruits may have been tomei, the liquid coming out would still be tor, and yet that is not alluded to or accounted for in this source. It says, notice we dashed underline, it says that the trumas tutin anovim have no heter achila. Omar Rava. Rava responds, now you see the inverted triangle will be in defense of Rav Acha's position, that really the liquids are mifgad pkidi. Omar Rava, if that be the case at Mifkat Kiri, so why does the source say that there's no heter achila? So Rava explains, Gzeira Dilma Osi Behu Lide Takola. The basic approach is that mashkin are merely mifkat pokid in the fruits. The reason we're machmir with regard to trumas tutin that became tome, and we don't allow you to squeeze them out, pochos mikabetza, that is a rabbinic intervention. That's a rabbinic stringency that's imposed. And what is that? Gzeiro dilma osi behu lidei takola. We're afraid that you'll come to misusing, to literally a stumbling block. And what's that? So Rashi says, lidei takola, kshudorchon, when he's pressing them, shema yoichal mehen, we're afraid he might come to eat from them. And what are we dealing with? We're dealing with tutim and anovim that were tithed as truma, that the fruits themselves were tomei. So it's true that in principle we can arrange for the liquid that oozes forth from them being tohor. However, we won't allow you to do that because we're afraid that while you're pressing them, you'll eat from the fruits themselves, which in this case is truma tamea, forbidden to eat. So because of this element called chayshinon litakola, the source on Lamed Bey said they don't have a heter achila. It means in practical terms, we're not going to allow you to squeeze it out in the pochos mikabetza fashion, and therefore they have no heter achila. Omar le Abaye, notice the triangle repositions facing point facing up. He challenges this. He says, "Umi chayshinon litakola." Is that something we really concern ourselves with? Do we really worry about coming to stumbling? We have the following source, Madlik in the Pasu B'Shemen Shel Truma Shinit Meis. We allow people to use as fuel bread and oil that was tithed as Truma that became Tomei. Well, Rashi points out that when you're dealing with oil is something that you don't light at once. You usually store it away and use little bits at a time. And we allow you to use that, and we're not afraid that you're going to come to eat from it. Omar lay. So Rava answers, in the case of the pas and the shemen that we're allowing you to keep around as fuel, there is no chashash takola. There's no fear of your coming to making a mistake, to stumbling. Pasorik lehi bein hoitzim, the bread that you want to use as fuel, you're going to throw it amongst the wood, and it's going to become dirtied and soiled over there, and you're not going to even think to come to eat it. Shemen shel truma, as far as the oil, also there's no chashash takola. Rami lei bekli mos. You'll put it in a dirty vessel, in a disgusting vessel. So, too, in the case of the oil, you're not going to come to use it as a food substance. And it will be clearly used only as fuel. Hence, there is no case of takola. But in the case of the tutim v'anovim, there certainly is the possibility of coming to eating from them if we were to allow you to press them in a pochos mikabetza fashion. So after all is said and done, Rava and company got the last word in over here, and that would mean that in principle, the mashkin are mifkad pkidi, and as far as any challenge you might raise to that, that would be a function of a chashash takola, but not a challenge to the basic principle or the foundation that we can view the mashkin as mifkad pkidi. Of course, Rav Chisda disagrees, and he says, mashkin are mivla bli, are part and parcel of the fruits themselves. Before we continue in the Gemara, we have a topic heading on the side. B'misgeres ha'eter lahadlik truma tamea, within the context or the framework of allowing one to use as fuel truma tamea, ech nishmor mipnei ha'takola. How does one keep himself from stumbling? The ad shiadliko yovo lecho mimeno, that until you actually use it as fuel, you might come to eat from it. And as we said, we're dealing with Truma Tameah with it, and eating prohibition. Let's now continue in the Gemara. Gufa. This is a quote from that which we had seen earlier. Madlikin bepasu b'shemen shel truma shenitmes. We allow you to use bread and oil that had been tithed as truma, but became defiled, and you can use it as fuel. Abaye omar mishmei dechizkia, v'rov omar debei rebitzog bar marta omar avhuna. Abaye quotes Chizkia, and Rava quotes eventually Rav Huna. Lo shanu elo pas, avolchiti loi. The permission granted to use as fuel includes bread, but not wheat. In other words, we won't allow you to keep wheat for that was set aside as was tithed as truma, became tamei, and you would set it aside for fuel purposes. And why won't we allow that? Shemo yovo bohen lidei takola. We're afraid you might come to stumble and eat them. Rashi says at the very end of the page, avochiti nami zorek lehu, even if you throw the wheat, let's say, in some dirty place, lo mimisi, they do not become disgusting. You can always rinse them off, which is not the case with bread that you threw into a filthy place. So when it comes to bread, there's a way to preempt the takola, but when it comes to chiti, the feeling is not so. Rabbi Yochanan Omar afilu chiti. Rabbi Yochanan is more lenient. He says you can keep the wheat also, for that was truma that became tamei, and it's wheat. You can keep that for fuel also. Why are we allowing that? Is there not a fear that you might come to eat from those wheat grains that were truma, tamea, and forbidden to eat? How is it then that we allow you to set it aside, set the chita, truma, tamea, aside as fuel? The Omar Rav Ashi, more answers, as Rav Ashi says elsewhere, we continue at the top of Lamed Dalet, Omed Aleph, B'shliksa umi'ista. After the wheat became tamei, what we will expect you to do is boil them up, and after they're boiled, throw them amongst the twigs and the wood, and they will become disgusting, and you're not going to come to eat the wheat. Rav Huna, on the other hand, Rashi points out, Rav Huna, who didn't suggest this, Rav Huna, who made a distinction between bread that we allow you to set aside as fuel, but wheat, no. Rav Huna is fearful that before you come to boil them, you will eat from them. Or maybe as they're boiling, you'll come to eat from them before they become mo'us. So in the meantime, we're explaining Rabbi Yochanan's approach that allows you to set aside the wheat based on what Rav Ashi teaches elsewhere, but Shikso Mista Ochanami. So too, in our context of the Truma Tameo and setting it aside as fuel, we tell you to do to the Chitim B'shliksa Umista, boil them up and throw them amongst the twigs, and they will become disgusting. The Gemara asks, V'heicho Idmar de Rav Ashi. We were merely quoting Rav Ashi, but where did Rav Ashi say what he said in context? Where did he say what he said? The Gemara answers, and it takes a few lines. Aha, di Omar Rabbi Ovin bar Rav Acha, Omar of Yitzchok, Abba Shoal. Omar of Yitzchok. Abba Shoal, he tells us about Abba Shoal. Gabol shel beis Rabbi Hoya. Abba Shoal was the Gabol. Gabol is someone who needs dough, maybe. It's associated with being a baker. He needed the dough in the house of Rebbe. Rashi points out that Rebbe was someone who practiced eating even his chulin, even his common food, bitara, in maintaining it in a state of undefilement, of purity. So Abba Shaul worked in the house of Rebbe. V'hoyim mechamin loy chamin. They used to boil up hot water bechitin shel truma tmea, using as a fuel the grains, the wheat grains of truma tmea. Truma tmea, though you can't eat it, you can use it as fuel. They used tome wheat grains that were set aside as truma as fuel. Lalush bohen isa betara, and the hot water was boiled up in order to enable Abba Shol to knead the dough in the house of Rebbe in a state of tara. Well, Amai, how could this be allowed? Nechush dilma osi behu lidei takola. Is there not a fear that they'll come to eat from the wheat that they're using as fuel, and this wheat is truma tamei and forbidden to eat? Omar Ravashi. So here we dash on Ravashi. This is the reason we are bringing in this whole section. And Ravashi says, no, there was no fear, because you know what they did with the wheat that was from the truma tamei that they were using as fuel? Beshlikso miista. They had boiled up that wheat and thrown it amongst the twigs before using it as fuel. So when they were using it, drawing from it to use as fuel, it was already disgusting and people wouldn't eat from it. So there's no reason to worry me of what we'll call the takola happening. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.